Welcome to the Becoming You podcast, the podcast for women who are ready to unlock a more confident, joyful, and fulfilling life. I'm Megan, life coach and breathwork facilitator, and your no-nonsense bestie, here to provide you with the tools, resources, and insights you need to thrive. Every fortnight, we'll be diving into topics that matter the most to you, whether it's overcoming self-doubt, embracing your authentic self, or learning how to actually regulate your nervous system. Don't worry, I've got you covered. So let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to season 4, episode 4 of the Becoming You podcast. This topic today I'm so passionate about because it's something that I have really struggled with myself in my life. And once I understood it, it gave me so much insight and so much awareness, and it actually helped me change so many things in my life because of this. And so I'm going to share a little bit of my own personal experience, but we're talking about abandonment wounds. We're talking about how your abandonment and rejection wounds are actually impacting your relationships and essentially your life. And I want to share my experience because I never thought this would be something that came up for me because of my upbringing. So there are a few core wounds that exist and that can exist for people that come from childhood. So you've got abandonment, rejection, trust, guilt, neglect, right? And these things will play into so many other things in your life that you don't even realize are happening. And this is why knowledge is power. This is why awareness is so important. Because you can start to like map the dots. You can start to see how things like intertwine and things start to make sense. So the reason that I didn't think that an abandonment wound could be possible for me is because I grew up in a home with two parents. My parents are actually still married now. They've been married for 40 years. So I thought, well, that doesn't make sense because I wasn't abandoned, right? I wasn't in a single parent home. My dad didn't leave, all the things. What I had failed to kind of see was that actually, even though I had two parents, one of them was very much not present in my life. So from as young as me being 2, my dad had worked away. He would work away in different countries. He would go for like a week at a time. And so there wasn't much of him there in our day-to-day lives. He wasn't there to take me to school. He wasn't there to pick me up from school. He wasn't there actually a lot of the time when we had dinner. And when he was at home, when he was physically present in our house, he wasn't mentally present. He wasn't emotionally present. So I have a lot of memories of my dad being there, but him being on his phone, being on his laptop, taking calls, not actually giving me the attention that I desired, that I needed when I was a little girl. And so that really shifted our relationship. And I think when I was about maybe 11 or 12, I sort of shut the door on him in a way. It was like, I've now realized that you don't pick me. I'm not important to you. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I say, how I try. I'm not important to you because work comes first. And I'm done with it. Right? I'm over it. And I distance myself from him. And we have had quite a distant relationship ever since then. Me and my dad have never been close. And it's not to push blame on either party. It's just to say that when I was in my late 20s, I had this realization that I had an abandonment wound. And it's because I felt like my dad left me, even though he was physically there. Even though for all intents and purposes, I had two parents, I never felt like I mattered to him. And that created problems in my life. So what happened as I started getting into relationships with men is that I was unconsciously seeking out people that would make me feel the same way. People that would make me feel like I was going to be abandoned. Because what else goes along with this feeling of abandonment is also the feeling of not being good enough, right? Why would someone abandon me? Because I'm not good enough. So I would attract these relationships with men who made me feel not good enough, who I was scared were going to leave me, were going to abandon me, because that is the narrative that played out for me unconsciously, right? I wasn't conscious of this at the time, because obviously if I was conscious of it, it wouldn't have played out in that way, right? These are the lessons that we learn. These are the things that we gain. This is the wisdom that we experience as we go through life and we understand ourselves on a deeper level. And so I would get in these relationships where I would feel not good enough. They would give me reason to not feel good enough. And we'd have these very explosive arguments, this conflict. And you know what else I would do? I would push them away before they had the chance to push me away. I pushed them away before they could fucking abandon me. You're not going to hurt me. You're not going to abandon me. No. I'm going to do it first, which meant that I had lots of volatile relationships, conflict-driven, chaotic, because this fueled my core wound. It confirmed the bias that I had, that my ego had decided, this is a story, this is your identity, this is who you are, this is what happens, and you're going to start aligning everything with it. So I had these really turbulent relationships. And I also want to talk about anxious attachment here as well, because at the core of anxious attachment is abandonment. It's the fear of abandonment. So a lot of people who have the abandonment wound or the rejection wound also are anxiously attached, or they become anxious avoidant, which is kind of what I fell into quite a lot of the time, because I would cling to things, right? Cling to things so they didn't leave me in one aspect. And on the other aspect of it, I would avoid them and I would push them away because I didn't want to get hurt. So it's this real catch-22 place to be in. And so anxious attachment plagued my relationships, and this was really difficult. So if you listen to this and you resonate with what I'm saying, either because you're like, yes, I think I have an abandonment wound, or actually I think I'm anxiously attached, then I want to share with you some of the other ways that this might actually show up in your life. So when you are scared of being abandoned by other people, you are often going to self-abandon, right? You're going to put other people's needs and desires and wants before your own, because that's what's most important. So what will happen is you'll do things like not expressing your truth, biting your tongue in situations where really you have an opinion on something, but you do not want to like say anything, because what if it's not well received? What if they think you're wrong? What if they call you out? What if they don't like you anymore? If it's a relationship, what if they end the relationship? So you do not speak your truth because you're scared of how they're going to react. So you avoid conflict. And when you avoid conflict, that doesn't actually create healthy relationships. It doesn't create healthy communication. It actually creates resentment. It actually creates expectations that are unspoken. Actually, when you self-abandon and you do not express yourself and you avoid conflict, it is a recipe for disaster for long-term, healthy, conscious relationships. What else you may do is make yourself responsible for someone else's emotions, whether that's a friendship, whether that's a family member, whether it is a partner. You make yourself responsible for someone else's problem or someone else's emotion, and you're not responsible for that. Maybe you shape-shift. Do you actually change who you are depending on who you're with? Again, this comes back to self-abandoning. Because what you're saying is their needs are more important than yours. How they need you to show up, quote unquote, is more important than you being authentically yourself. And on another level, when you show up as different people, if you adapt to situations, if you change who you are depending on who you're with, this is often also stemming from this like people-pleasing lens. I want to be perceived in a certain way, therefore I'm going to act a certain way. But that's actually selfish. People pleasing on a kind of deeper level is manipulative and selfish, because you are skewing someone's view of you purposefully. It doesn't mean that you have bad intentions. It just means that on an unconscious level, you are manipulating someone to view you in a certain way. And that's actually not honest. That's quite selfish. And I remember when I first learned this and was first told this, how much it triggered me. I didn't like to hear that, because no, I'm a good person. No. Like I put people first because that's what good people do. It's like, no, that's what manipulators do. That's what people who are acting from their trauma do. That's what people who are behaving from their wounds do. That is not what someone who is conscious and aware of themselves and who they are and that they respect themselves. That's not what someone like that does. People who have self-respect and who love themselves do not self-abandon. Right? They don't people please. And that's not to say that they're not kind. It's not to say that they're not supportive people. It's just to say that they do that in a way that is honest and in a way that is authentic. And they understand that people will dislike you in this life. I hate to break it to you, but not everybody likes you. You could be the kindest fucking person on this earth and people will still not like you. And it's not your problem. Yeah, so when you have an abandonment wound, you are scared that people are going to dislike you. You want to be liked because, hey, if they don't like you, they're going to abandon you. It may also show up in taking on too many responsibilities, taking on too much overscheduling because you need to be needed. Because you need to be needed by the people in your life, whether it's work, whether it's your partner, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends. Because if you're not showing up and giving 110% and proving your worth and proving you're valuable to people, they might leave. They might realize that you're not enough. They might see you for who you truly are, in quotation marks, and they might leave. And it's all a load of shit. Because you're worthy just because you exist. Your value doesn't actually come from how many good deeds you do for other people. There are no medals for being the busiest person in the world. Someone who respects themselves and loves themselves does not need to be needed by other people. They don't need to be seen in a certain way. They just are. They just be. And that's enough. So on that note, I feel like that was a metaphorical bashing over the head for anyone listening to this. But I want to kind of talk into how you can start healing from this wound. Right? If you've resonated with anything that I've spoken about. And by the way, when I give these examples, I mean, I get them because they're from my own experience. I've been that person. I was plagued by this for a very long time in my life. And when I healed that, it changed so much for me. And so it's possible. You can change it if you're committed and invested in your growth, if you're committed to helping yourself and taking responsibility for yourself. Because where the abandonment wound came from, where the rejection wound came from, is not your fault. It's not your fault, the childhood that you had and the way that you were treated. That's not your fault. But it is your responsibility to heal it. And I say this all the fucking time because it's true. Because you can stay a victim all your life to what happened in your childhood and you can blame your parents and blah, 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 and see how far you get. Or you can understand what happened, acknowledge it, have compassion and understanding for both yourself and your parents. And then you can take full responsibility of your life and go, what do I actually need to change here to make my life better? What do I actually need to change here in order to live a better life, in order to be more joyful, in order to have more peace, in order to feel more empowered? Like, you get to do that for yourself. So one of the first things I would say is, where are you prioritizing your self-care? And I don't mean like bubble baths and massages and meditations, even though that's amazing. I mean, like, where are you prioritizing alone time for you to be in your energy, to do things you enjoy, to find what lights you up, to be in stillness? Like, where are you actually having time for yourself? And if time by yourself is something that makes you feel a bit uncomfortable, well, it's a sign that you need it the most, right? So look at in your life where you can carve out more pockets of time where you get to spend with you. Most of the time with people that have anxious attachment or they have these abandonment wounds, don't like to spend much time on their own. And this also used to be me. Now I fucking love my own company. I spend most of my life alone, actually. And that's fine. I am great to be around. I have so much fun by myself with my dog. So this is really important. You're showing yourself that you can support yourself. You're not going to have someone with you 24/7 to validate you, to reassure you, right? And this brings me on to the second part of healing these wounds, is actually acknowledging that part of you still exists within your inner child, the part of you that feels unsafe when these things come up. You know, you have an argument with your partner and that part of you, she's there. And she's like, I don't feel safe because they're going to leave me. I'm going to be left. And what we have to remember, sorry, here, is that when you're a child, the fear of abandonment makes perfect sense because you're a child. You can't fend for yourself. It's a survival instinct. You need an adult there to take care of you, to nurture you, to raise you. So the fear is actually valid, right? Problem is, it gets stuck, right? And you're now an adult operating in an adult world, and you've still got this child part of you that is actually running the show. That's where the issue comes. And so it's really about acknowledging that that inner child, that part of you still exists, and she still feels unsafe when these things come up. And that's okay, right? It's actually okay, because what you get to do now is give yourself the reassurance that you need. Give yourself the validation that you need. You get to tell her, I know that you're feeling unsafe and I know you feel like you're going to be abandoned, but it's okay. I'm here. We've got this. And you are good enough, right? You are worthy. Because this is the thing, no one can truly abandon you. As an adult, no one can abandon you. That doesn't make sense. You're a whole human being. You cannot be abandoned. So what you get to do here is take your power back and realize that you just don't have to abandon yourself. You get to be that parent that you needed when you were a child. You get to be it for yourself. And this is fucking powerful. Inner child work has changed my life. If anyone is on a healing journey and they are not yet practicing inner child work, I highly recommend and encourage you to work with someone who will allow you and help you to work with your inner child. It is incredibly powerful. And I believe that everyone should do it. Also, I am one of those people you can work with who will help you do inner child work. So the third thing that you can actually do to start healing this wound is starting to openly communicate in your relationships in your life, right? Start communicating openly your needs. Start noticing when you have needs, because often when you self-abandon, you forget that you have them. You invalidate yourself. You make yourself sound like you're a burden, like you're asking too much. So actually start to notice when you desire something, when you need something. Start to clock those thoughts and start to communicate that. So, for example, if you are in a relationship and your partner does or says something that hurts your feelings, that upsets you, that disappoints you, you can speak into that. Remembering you can still do this even when you're scared, even when you're terrified and you're like, oh my God, I don't want to say that because what if he leaves me? What if it starts a big argument? What if it's okay? You can still have the conversation with those thoughts going on. You just get to remind yourself that you have needs and that's not too much and you're allowed to express them, right? There's nothing wrong with that. You are not responsible for the other person's reaction as long as you communicate in a healthy manner. And so it's actually not complex. It's really simple. It's just hard and challenging, and I get it. And having those conversations can be really difficult, especially if they were not modeled to you as a child. But this is what you have to do. You have to start making different choices. When you make different choices, you get different results. That is the key to healing. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And for anyone that's wanting to work on these things a little bit deeper, if you wanted some support on your healing journey to work through your abandonment wounds, work through your rejection wounds, or even just some help on how you can communicate better in your relationships, then either send me a message via DM on Instagram or visit my website, meganscholycoaching.com, and let's have a conversation about how I can help you. Thanks for tuning in to the Becoming You podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe or share on your socials and tag me at meganscholy_. It really helps us reach more amazing women like you. See you in the next episode.